Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
And welcome everyone. You made it to Thanksgiving week. How about it? This is Crusader Talk, and we are happy to be with you. Caleb Hamill, Josh West with you. And a week to be thankful. Thankful to be making it to Thanksgiving week. Hope you've got good plans to be enjoying some fun food, some family time, and all things Thanksgiving related. Maybe some football this weekend. I know I'm not really looking forward to that. But you know what? It just is what it is. It will be what it will be. But, you know, Josh, maybe you've got some good football to look forward to. If not, at least there's been some good basketball and some good soccer for us all Carey fans.
Yeah, I don't know if I have any good football to look forward to either with the way that my team has performed the last couple of weeks as well. So, and then when it comes to NFL for all of us in the Deep South, I don't think that that's much of anything to look forward to. So, yeah, I think some family, some rest, some good visiting, if you will. Will be what's on tap for Thanksgiving, certainly.
I'm surprised you went visiting instead of following up with another F of fellowship. You know, that's typically the F that follows there.
But,
yeah, jazz it up a little bit. Change things up just a touch. Well, in a busy week in athletics, and we had talked with Tracy English last week on the podcast, and I know, Josh, you had him on during the Southern Miss game a couple weeks, or actually last week, but just talking about how busy of a week it was for William Carey in the world of athletics, especially Saturday, because that really seemed to be the headline focus of everything athletics related at the university, because you had a lot going on campus that day with the two soccer matches for the NAIA opening round, then also a big test early for both women's and men's basketball. I've never thought about it, but having Loyola as your first conference opponent of the year is a pretty stout way to start a season, or at least a conference play part of the season, considering we've usually had a couple different games under our belt before finally facing them, maybe before we go to Christmas break, or maybe you face them in early January. But right out of the gate, you get a big test, and for the women's basketball side, they came through.
Boy, did they ever. Loyola was the only team preseason picked ahead of William Carey in that poll. 6 first-place votes for Loyola, 3 for William Carey. And then Loyola comes in with some early momentum, played a really good non-conference schedule to that matchup with William Carey, and came in 22nd ranked in the country. And then for Carey to come out and acquit themselves the way they did in that 69-54 win. That was a Loyola team that came in averaging 78 points per game, but William Carey came in surrendering only 49 points per game. So the most points that Carey had given up in a game all season long was only 56 points. So this is a team that is now developing an identity of really hanging their hat on their defense. And, you know, I know that Coach English took a lot of pride in defense, but it's just under Coach Garriga's leadership, they've got a little something different. And again, that's nothing away from Coach English. It's just something with the way that Coach G is able to take her personality, the way she runs practice, the way she was as a player, and the way she is as a head coach. And she has imparted that into these ladies. And Caleb, you've had a chance to see it a little bit. I mean, they are tenacious defensively, and they had a little bit of an edge about them against Loyola that I didn't see all of last year for that long of a stretch, like an entire game. And they went 25-0 in the regular season last year. So this is saying something. This team has a chance, if they stay healthy and they defend like that, to put together yet another special season.
You know, over the weekend, I had a chance to go back and see Southern Miss women's basketball while Clayton was covering the two soccer matches for us over there at William Carey. But, you know, just seeing that made me think back to the matchup that they had with William Carey earlier in the year. And you and I had kind of gone back and forth about whether or not Missy had, you know, made Southern Miss kind of back off a little bit, make it a respectable game. I'm going to tell you, from what I was able to see from Carey on Monday against Pensacola Christian to what I saw on Saturday of Southern Miss versus Nichols, I see a lot of similarity between the two teams. The tenacity, the go-get-em-ness of both sides. Southern Miss had a lot of those half-court to three-quarter court traps where they forced turnovers of Nichols and really forced them to take some bad shots and other things of that nature. And I'm like, I see similar focus from William Carey and the ability to take good shots, both from the perimeter and banging it inside with Chenille Corpuz. It really made me think that, I think that was a genuine good effort from both William Carey and Southern Miss in that game, with neither side playing other than their normal way. And so when you see a team like William Carey facing up against a Division I opponent like this Southern Miss team, and then now to see what they did against Loyola over the weekend, you see this is a legitimate contender. And like you said, there's really not anything that's been lost transitioning from Coach English to Coach Garriga.
No, there really hasn't. And, I mean, that is just a testament to the way a player like Brooklyn Cuevas is quickly becoming a star on this team.
Man, no kidding.
She hits 14 more points, 4 more threes on Saturday in the win. She came off the bench, Caleb, and hit her first 2 shots. She was able to curl, catch in the high post at the left elbow, get to the rim for a finish, and then come right back and hit a 3. So it was that instant offense. She is that now 6th player, that first player off the bench, the 6th person for this team right now. Bailey Duvall is emerging. And then you've got Alyssa Hillard. That is your 8-player rotation with the starters, right, of Corpuz and Ladner and Garriga and Sutton. And I'm missing one more. I'm missing one more at the top of mind here. Let me pull that up here because I don't want to do that. Let me get my notes here pulled up. I'm missing one more. Of course, Addie Scheer.
Yeah, the way I was going to say, I should have known that too.
Again, that's just that brain moment goes back to the week we were just talking about of how crazy it was. I barely have a voice. I don't know how you have a voice. We know Clayton doesn't have a voice. And people say, do we lose our voices? And I say, I don't lose my voice unless I physically get worn down, not getting enough sleep and just the cumulative effect. If I'm getting sleep and getting rest, then I can call games all day, every day. But I digress. So back to the way this team, not so much the traps, not so much the full court pressure. It's just the get down in a stance, high hands, move your feet, and just compete and beat you to the spot and anticipate and take away your dominant hand and make you do things you don't want to do and really get up. If you pick up the ball, then they're going to go sit on that hip. They're going to be right there on your hip. They're going to body you up with high hands and wall up on you. They're going to make it so uncomfortable for you. Overplaying passing lanes, just all these things that make really, really good, sound, fundamental half-court defensive teams, and then that leads to those transition opportunities because with the deep outlet and everybody running their lanes and then the athleticism of a Sutton and a Ladner and a Hillard and a Scheer and others in transition, and now you mix in the Ingles and the Duvalls and the Brooklyn Cuevases with their three-point shooting ability, and of course Jenna Garriga is a knockdown three-point shooter as well. I mean, this, and you've got Corpuz on the inside. So this is a very, very good team.
Yeah, it really is. And, we talked to Brooklyn Cuevas and Bailey Duvall last week on our live show from out at Clinton Gym. And, one thing that just kind of came back into mind as we were sitting there talking, and I don't know that I really made light of this, but it's just surprising to me how every single year we seem to look up and down this roster and just see what terrific local talent that Carey is able to draw to this roster. It's not the same thing that you get from the soccer side of things or, heck, even some of the baseball players that come to William Carey. Typically, there's a big flair of out-of-town and out-of-state folks coming in. And when you look at this roster, I mean, you have just a couple that are not from Mississippi. Duvall, one from Franklinton, Louisiana, but that's just right down the road. And if you hit Tylertown, you just head a little bit further south. Then it's Hillard from Ponchatoula, Louisiana. And then I think everything else is all the SIP. And really, Coach Garriga, who's done a big share of all the recruiting over the past several seasons for William Carey, has done a terrific job of seeing talent, recognizing it from the high school level, and convincing them or drawing them in and saying, hey, why not Carey? And realizing that, yeah, not only can I play basketball at the collegiate level, but I can play good basketball at the collegiate level.
You were mentioning about recruiting, and this is something that I think that Coach Garriga's got to lean into, and that is the fact that she has done a great job of cherry-picking the best players out of the MAIS. And so she's got to be able to do that, convincing them that Carey's a good fit. The culture's similar. The campus is similar. Tight-knit group. That is a message that resonates not only with MAIS players, but players around this region. And the brand of William Carey has never been stronger, and I'm so excited with what she is going to do in recruiting in the coming years, because I think it's going to get better and better.
Yeah, certainly so. And hey, we haven't even gotten to talking about men's basketball yet. No, it wasn't their best week, but we will recap it, a full week of basketball activity, and then we'll also get around to soccer. We have not forgotten about Coach Farrell and Coach Owen. So that and more coming up as we continue on Crusader Talk.
Listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, continuing on here on Crusader Talk. Happy to be with you, and I will be honest with you, kind of surprised that we were able to get this one in today because, full disclosure, pre-recorded. This is a Sunday night that we're actually getting this done as you listen to it on Super Talk Hattiesburg with its premiere at 7 o'clock, but Josh and I are keeping the midnight oil burning here because I'm solo parenting. Josh is on vacation. If that doesn't tell you how much dedication we have to wanting to talk about William Carey athletics, I don't know what does. That or we're just that drawn to a check. Take it however you want to take it. But I think it's honestly for me, it's because I really want to be able to talk about how this William Carey athletics program, top down, has been able to really do things differently than everybody else. And you know, one of those big things is, you know, like we talked about earlier, being able to have a busy weekend for good reason, because one athletics program is in postseason action and hosting, and then elsewhere on campus you got just out of a program going toe-to-toe with a conference opponent. And Josh, we started off with some good news. We're probably going to have to cover some of the not-so-good news for one of these segments, but we'll get it out of the way. How about we? So we talked about women's basketball. We can transition now to talk about men's basketball. And I know you were around for three different matchups this past week. Unfortunately for Carey, none of them favor the Crusaders, but only one of them actually goes against their record, and that was the one on Saturday against Loyola. But coming out there earlier this week, Carey did something I had never seen before when it comes to scheduling, and that's putting two D1 exhibition games in back-to-back days ahead of your first conference team. And I have to think that, you know, on one hand, you could have had a matchup where it kind of prepared you for good competition ahead of the weekend, but I feel like this more so just was a gauntlet for them to run.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was a gauntlet, and I think we saw that right after halftime. On Saturday against Loyola, they came out flat. They had a lead, up 6 at the half, 40-34, and just could not maintain that same energy level coming out of the locker room, jogging up and down the floor. Coach Knight's having to make substitutions. We're doing some uncharacteristic things, some quick shots. We didn't defend well. And, you know, all in all, it was just not William Carey's best game, and yet there they are in the final minute down by 2 points, very much in the game, and had a chance and then got every look they wanted down the stretch of the ball game, but simply could not hit those shots. And you got all the guys you want taking those shots. Jenkins missed a three. Robinson missed a three. Gordon missed a three. They were even getting second chance opportunities and couldn't knock it down. And so the lead grew from 2 to 4 to 6. And so it was much closer than that 81-75 final score. But I want to say this about the men. I think 6-1, this is a group that played a very underrated Loyola team. This is a Loyola team that I think is one of the most talented rosters in the league. They can beat anybody anytime they step out on the floor. Whereas so many teams in the Southern States Athletic Conference this year were new, this is not a new Loyola team. From Bielicic to Thompson and others are players that are returning on that roster. Sheck Snyder was another one of the guys that is back on that roster and others. So they're a veteran group that mixed in a couple of very good new pieces and got some guys back from injury. Yes, they have a first-year head coach, but this is a very talented group, and I think Loyola's got a chance to win the league this year. So you get off to a 6-1 start. You're 0-1 in the league, but I expect right after Thanksgiving, much-needed rest, and I think they'll bounce right back.
Yeah, certainly have the potential to. And look, the games over the years against Loyola have been very close and back and forth at that. I mean, last year they split with Loyola and Cary. And granted, most recently, before that win for William Cary back in January earlier this year, it was pretty much a big stretch of Loyola wins. In fact, they had an 8-game win streak going ahead of that one. So Cary broke that streak. And again, not to say that rivalries are the end-all be-all, and I know Mobile is probably the bigger rivalry, and truth be told, Dalton State's a bigger basketball rivalry that people give it credit for. But Loyola, in both men's and women's basketball, are always just, they're just one of those games that sometimes it just doesn't go your way. Sometimes it can go your way. But I'm with you, Josh. I think the talent that you can see on this roster is not limited to what just a one-week window is showing. And they are still lurking, are still looking to get that gelling going on. I know with the transfer portal, sometimes it takes a little bit of extra time, and you're still early. And again, with some much-needed rest after a 3-game week, this team has a big opportunity to bounce back. Now, this is not the only team. You want to comment on that before we move over to men's soccer?
Yeah, I do want to comment on that and just say that, yes, I mean, it does take its toll. With the way this team has to, you know, press and run and defend, they can't take the, you know, plays off, so to speak. They can't take segments of games off. I mean, they've got to be switched on, and they just did not have that same level of energy. That's something that Coach Knight's going to continue to tinker with and to watch. Now, Coach Knight himself has announced that he will be having total hip replacement surgery on December 19th. That's going to put him out a couple of weeks, but he will wait till the day after the last game of the calendar year. And so he will be not back to 100% first of the year, but he will be back, and he won't be in pain. And he's been giving everything for 44 years to this program, and he's giving it to the team right now on one leg. But he's going to get that hip fixed. He is going to be a new man come 2026, and I think that's going to be good to have Coach around even more. PJ and Bert do a great job, but it's just Coach Knight. I mean, he's Coach Knight. He's the Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
He's the GOAT, right? So to have him back even more is going to be a big boost for this team as well.
Yeah, it really could be. And, hey, I'm still of the opinion that he should get the rolling chair out there, just coach from that, at least for these last few weeks until the surgery happens. You know, Dr. King and his wife used to always come out to basketball games and sit in those rolling chairs over there over the end line. And, I mean, they need a new purpose. They need to be repurposed somehow. And I think Coach Knight could take advantage of that. Still have a Diet Coke in hand, still coach him up, find a way to do it, rather than his Tiny Tim approach of the one crutch. Because, man, that's got to be more tiring than actually standing up on the leg, I would imagine. Have you ever dealt with crutches, Josh? That's no fun.
Oh, yes, once in high school, and it is not fun. Not fun. No, he's gutted it out, but he literally takes a day or a day plus to recover when he gets out and coach a game like he did yesterday, being Saturday, in relation to recording this. So, no, I totally agree.
Yeah. All right, let's rip the Band-Aid off. Let's talk about whose season came to an end on Saturday, and that was men's soccer. As something that we didn't really talk about, but after the conference tournament in the finish against Life, in which Cary dropped that finale, one injury that was a big blow to the Crusader team was Santiago Molina. And at the time we were unsure of what would be the end-all be-all of that injury. We found out through the grapevine prior to the match against John Brown that he was out for that game and likely out for the season if Kerry's season were to progress beyond the opening round. And that's a blow, not just because he is just a generally good player, but he was also your best goal scorer by double of the next guy. He had 16 goals this year, and the next best one was a tie between Danny Molero and Pedro Saltiago. So 16 of what ended up being the 51 goals, 49 prior to the opening round game against John Brown, were accounted for by that one player, which became unavailable for the rest of the season. And I tell you, looking back at the matchup with John Brown, what a fast start they had to that one. Danny Molero punches through a goal in the third minute as Kerry takes an early lead. And you think, okay, let's maintain this momentum. Let's put the gas pedal down. I mean, not 3 minutes later, John Brown scores one. And with that, it's on. You're tied 1-1. Pedro Saltiago punches in another about more like 8 minutes later. Gives Kerry the lead. And about halfway through the first half, again, an equalizer for John Brown. And it's 2-2 in the first half. And Kerry, though they put up 15 shots compared to John Brown's 5 in the second half, could not scratch across another. Neither could John Brown. And so they go to overtime. And you just think, Josh, that if Kerry has a Santiago Molina or just at least somebody else out there just to kind of bounce around to where they're not keying in on just Molero and Saltiago, that you could possibly get that golden goal in overtime 1 or 2, or maybe you get that extra goal in the second half to where one of those 15 shots goes in. But for Kerry, it just never happened. And their season comes to an end as they lose some penalties 4-2. And you and I were watching it. I mean, just kind of an unfortunate way for that to come to a close.
Yeah, and I know we've just got a couple of seconds left here. To lose like that in PKs and then miss a PK, Dugan missing a PK with around 11 minutes to go in regulation was just devastating. There's so much parity. Men's soccer is such an international sport. There's such a large pool of players to pull from. The consistent dominance that Kerry men's soccer has had is right up there with the best programs in the league. They continue are. So the national championship is coming for this program. There's just so much parity. Every year's a new year, and it's going to happen. Just keep the faith.
Well, may not happen this year, but women's soccer is still alive. We'll talk about their season next.
You're tuned in to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, rocking and rolling here. Third segment of the program. Glad to be with you. This is Crusader Talk. Now we get to turn the page back to some good news, I think. But I actually, you know what? Let's just get one final rip of that Band-Aid. Let's kind of finish, because we were kind of cut short talking about the men's soccer program and giving them their credence and, you know, acknowledging their accomplishments this season. I mean, what a terrific year and showing for that club. I really think, not to say they peaked in that weekend where they played Life. I guess it was more a Thursday they played Life and then had to draw against Dalton. But still, just a terrific team. And when they were at full strength, they were nearly impossible to deal with. And you can't ask for much more for Coach Farrell and company. Just an unfortunate circumstance of losing your top goal scorer there in the final moments of the regular season, or I guess the beginning of the postseason.
Well, and Caleb, we were talking about this. I mean, I want to see a, you know, 6, 8, 10-year run of consistency of records and accomplishments and, you know, final poll rankings and so forth of the top premier men's programs in NAIA soccer. And Kerry is right up there at the top or near the top, because there have been a lot of programs in recent years, not to name names. We discussed a few just kind of off the top of the head. And it could have been a misspeak that I just didn't notice them this year, but they were better than I thought. But they'll have a great year. They'll have a senior-laden team, for example. they'll make a run at the national tournament or win a national championship, and then they have a coaching change, and then they're not really heard of for a while, and they've got to rebuild. That has not been the case in Hattiesburg. Barry Farrell and his staff, Coach G and company, and Ryan and everyone have done a tremendous job of remarkable consistency, and they continue to reload. But then I also want to say this, back to the point I was making to extend that thought, I think that from a lack of men's programs at the Division I level and the way that that trickles all the way down through NCAA to NAIA, I think NAIA men's soccer is one of the strongest NAIA sports. And so, again, with soccer being so big on a global stage, there being so much parity from a talent standpoint, it is very difficult to do what Kerry does year in and year out. And we expect national championships, and we're wanting a national championship. But that is a, I mean, you look at the how many teams, you know, repeat, for example, in the World Cup or in the Champions League or, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It is extremely difficult. So many things have to break your way. So many things have to go right. You mentioned Molina, the injury, and there's a third of your goal scoring, for example. I mean, that's huge. And so what they are doing every year, getting in and giving themselves a chance, that's all you can ask for. And then you have to have, like what happened last year, have some things break your way, be healthy and peaking at the right time, and then go on that run for the natty. But to be in position every year, you know, next year we'll be here before we know it. Don't we know it, Caleb, as fast as this year's gone. So, you know, hey, it's going to be okay. I know in the moment the sky might seem that it's falling, but once we're able to get a few weeks removed from this, I know Clayton will have us fired up talking recruiting. Barry will have us fired up in the calf talking recruiting and off-season and training and, you know, traction and all the different things that they do to prepare. And it'll be moving on to next year. We'll turn the page, and we'll be excited for men's soccer in 2026.
You know, one final thought on it. And I know none of this happens without the coaching. You know, Coach Farrell, and we're not just playing favorites here because we go to lunch with him a couple times every now and then. But just to think about what he and his coaching staff go through. Like last week, I wanted him to be on the podcast to preview John Brown and talk about the national tournament. He said, sorry, can't. I'm in Daytona. I was like, oh, a little vacation. No, he was at the JUCO National Championship. In between his end of the SSAC tournament and starting a game against John Brown on the upcoming Saturday, the Monday before, he was still recruiting because he realizes that that never stops. Recruiting is a year-round type of thing. And so he is Johnny on the spot handling that. But not just what this coaching staff does just off the field when they're not playing while the clock runs, but also just thinking back about what this team went through earlier this year when Coach Farrell was sidelined due to what we eventually found out was a heart attack of sorts. And to see them go through that, they got that win even in his absence, and then he comes back and is able to continue coaching. This team has gone through so much. It almost seemed like even without Molina that they were going to find some way to gut that one out and grit through it. And they almost did, minus the penalties there at the end. But just a terrific team, top to bottom. And you can't say much more about what a great, great group they are.
Yeah, they are. And no, I make no bones about it. I think Barry's one of the best in the business. And I consider him a great friend. And, I the year has been so crazy. He handled his heart attack with such class and poise, you forget about it. He just kept going. He never showed weakness. He just continued the grind and probably maybe pushed out a little ahead of maybe doctor's timelines and so forth. And I don't know that. I'm just speculating because that's just who he is. He's just going to go out and give max effort. But, program's in great hands and cannot wait for 2026.
Yeah, really looking forward to it. All right, now the thing that we've been all excited about, and that's women's soccer. They were the benefactors of getting a top eight seed, so that meant that they got to host not only their game against an opponent, but also a play-in game, which happened on Thursday. And that featured Xavier taking on Campbellsville. And Josh, that was a very interesting match for us all, because that was one that I actually got to go out there to. That was one of my 3 days in a row of broadcasting. And it was really fun because obviously we had seen Xavier before. We knew what they were about and gotten to see how they performed against Cary earlier in the year. But one of the little underlying storylines was Ashley Cordero, the coach at Xavier, was absent for that match earlier against William Cary on the year because she was 2 days removed from giving birth to her second child. And to get to talk to her leading up into the week and then getting to see her out there on the pitch was very fun, because we found out she was actually being FaceTimed by the team earlier this year, 2 days after giving birth, during the match, to see about coaching decisions of how they wanted to handle this, that, or another. And it's just so cool to see how we're about to welcome Xavier into the SSAC and get to see them a lot more often, and possibly playing two times a year. And to see this opportunity, which I guess we've already seen them playing two times a year, just once regular season, then once national tournament, but I digress. It's going to be fun to see them and see how they match up, because this is a fun group, a very good coaching staff, and a competitive team as well, one that actually is a competitive advantage for our conference.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be great. You know, what they bring to the table from a competition standpoint is incredible. And just a little bit of edge, right? The rivalry is already there. I think we can credit the NAIA for doing that, because they continue to send them in the postseason to Hattiesburg, and that game got chippy between the two over the weekend. And you were commenting off the air prior to recording all the yellow cards. That's just uncharacteristic.
Four for Cary, two for Xavier. Was
it's uncharacteristic. Very uncharacteristic for Danny Owens' team. Not that they aren't able to rise to the occasion and meet the physicality. It's just not something that presents itself on a match-in and match-out basis, certainly not what you see on the men's side. But, you know, here's a Danny Owens club, yet again, 20-1, number one in the country, riding a massive winning streak, what seems to be peaking at the right time, have a bunch of playmakers, have plenty of offense, have been really, really good in goal again. And, you know, it's hard to imagine that this is a team that's not going to make another run, and a team that this does feel like a continuation after the letdown in the quarterfinals last year. Does it not, Caleb?
Yeah, I would agree. And it just kind of – to kind of fully recap from start to finish, just talking about these this team, just going from Xavier – from winning their match on Thursday on to the matchup with Cary on Saturday. Just one little fun storyline. It was a tight game, 1-1. All scoring happened in the second half of their game against Campbellsville. Chrislyn Gregory, who some people out there might know the name, is a defender from Goshen, right here in Mississippi, and was back playing in Hattiesburg, and came off the bench, went out there, scored a goal, which ended up being the go-ahead goal, which won them the match 2-1, just her second goal of the year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Received a pass at midfield and basically ran it the whole way into the box and shot and scored. And that ended up being the game winner. And that was a game in which Xavier dominated. They possessed like Cary does for most of the match, and only on a miscue or a little counterattack did Campbellsville get a goal. But that said, they're a good team, and Cary, I kind of expected, after watching that first half against Xavier and Campbellsville, thought that Cary would run away with whoever would come out the other side. It really wasn't the case. Just a 2-0 win for the Crusaders, and took two second-half goals, a quick one from Virginia Mesa after the whistle sounded to start the second half, and then Alyssia Navarro put one in the 85th minute just to put it out of reach. But this is a William Cary team that, you know, we said early on in the year, it's going to take a lot of gelling, a lot of figuring out, because they lost Christina Salmon, Alicia Davis, and several others due to graduation. And they found their footing with people like Navarro. Karen Villal stepped up. Virginia Mesa has continued to play soundly. And if they can continue to, you know, work that moving forward as they move on to the national tournament site over in Pensacola, this is going to be a Cary team that is a force and a chance to get their second national championship, first since 2018. And if they are successful in doing so, it'll happen on the second Monday, I guess, of December, which I'm trying to get my dates right in my head. Is that the 8th? Because I think Saturday's the 6th. So, yeah, Monday the
8th. National Championship is going to be on the 8th.
So mark your calendar if you're wanting to get a little Monday beach getaway or an extended weekend. That may be the place to go because there's a chance. And, again, I'm not trying to put the cart before the horse. There's a lot of matches between now and then, and Kerry didn't make it there last year, which was the first time in a while. But they have the chance to do just that and hunt down a national championship. So they are still in the running as they go on to the national tournament site. We'll preview what's to come with that and then also finish wrapping up what else has happened during the week in William Carey. And I meant to do it last week, and I told everybody that we were going to do it in the last segment, but I never got around to talking about what we're thankful for at William Carey. So I will remember to do that. Josh is going to make me re-record the final segment if I forget. But we will plan to do that next. You're listening to Crusader Talk.
Talking everything William Carey University Athletics. This is Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, final segment with you on this Thanksgiving week edition of Crusader Talk. Pretty bare week for us all because there's no athletics going on and everybody getting a chance to go visit family, hang out, do whatever they want. As there will be no athletic contest going on this upcoming week. On the other side of Thanksgiving break, we'll have a handful of stuff as basketball kicks right back into gear. Obviously, women's soccer is going to get into gear as well as they're going to be at the final site in Pensacola. And then women's basketball, men's basketball pick up Thursday, December 4th. On the road in Pulaski, Tennessee. Josh, you're going out for that, aren't you?
Yeah, so I'll be in Pulaski on the 4th. And then I'll be over in at Blue Mountain, Mississippi, over for those games on Saturday, December 6th. So it's the first conference big road weekend trip of the year, a chance to – if you talk to Coach Gehrga, she thinks that UT Southern is the sleeper team in the league. And so obviously looking at some of their scores through the first weekend of the regular season, you certainly wouldn't disagree with that. Obviously, Coach Knight and the boys need to get back on track. So that'll be huge. But I also think you'll have a chance. I think we'll be able to get Danny lined up and get Danny in for a, you know, postseason preview, if you will. We'll be peeking ahead to see if we need to keep our calendar open to travel to Pensacola for December 8th. And then I think some time will have passed. There'll be a little water under the bridge, and we can maybe even get Barry Farrell on to, you know, talk about, kind of give us a state of the union of the program, state of the program, if you will. And really reflect in positive terms on the men's soccer season. As we talked about, it was a good year, it was a really, really good year. When you lose in the second round as the 10th seed, you can, you know, feel sorry for yourself. But then you think about the 100-plus, 150-plus other programs that would do anything to trade places with you. And just because it happens basically on an annual basis in Hattiesburg, you know, I don't think we need to take that for granted.
I certainly don't. I did promise you I'd tell you about what's coming up next for the NAIA Women's Soccer Tournament. And unfortunately, I don't know that we're going to have a definitive – actually, hold on. Double-check that. We do have a word of who we're going to see in the second – I shouldn't say second round, the final site in the round of 16. It'll be William Carey taking on Embry-Riddle out of Arizona. I originally had the wrong Embry-Riddle. I didn't know there were two universities with that same name up, and then it said their schedule or their season concluded, but that was an NCAA school. But Embry-Riddle, the 15 seed overall team, makes it into the round of 16. They will face off against William Carey at 1 o'clock on December 2nd. So that is what you have to look forward to over there in Pensacola. If they win that one, they will get the winner of Grace and Truett McConnell, and that would put them in the semifinals if they're able to win that, which that match would occur on December the 6th at 4 p.m., and then the finals on December the 8th at noon is when they would have that one. So if we get to that point, then, Josh, we would have the chance of having a broadcast of the women's soccer finals on our little online web stream, and then possibly having a Crusader Talk with highlights after that. Or maybe it would be a long ride back and we would have to just park somewhere, maybe the Buc-ee's, and do it remotely. I don't know.
I'm all in. That sounds fantastic.
We are figure it out type people. We'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Look, I've been on the wrong side of these, you know, these PK matches in recent years. It seems like, you know, we want to gloss over when PKs went right for the men, you know, going back to the national tournament last year. But it seems like the losses stick out more sometimes, unfortunately. And then you go back to the national championship from a few years ago, the ladies losing PKs. And so, gosh, I would love to have a chance to go back and see them seal the deal. And a chance to do that here in, you know, less than 10 days a week would be tremendous.
Yeah, would be. Quick recap of the other stuff going on this past week. Swimming had a meet. They finished middle of the pack amongst the teams they were faced off against. And then women's cross country finished at the final site. And you can find all those results on carryathletics.com. Time now just to mention a word of thanks as we're in the final few minutes here of our podcast and radio show episode today. Josh, I joked with somebody over the weekend that it's so much fun to call games for William Carey because they win so much. It's easy to call games for winners rather than people that are struggling out there. And that's, you know, kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing to say, but honestly, it is one of the things I'm thankful for. But I'm also thankful that William Carey pours in the resources and that are dedicated to making sure that the word gets out, both for this podcast and for their broadcast of basically every single team sport that they have.
No, I am. We've kind of talked about this of you know, what we were thankful for and hinted at it last week and wanted to get to it and ran out of time. But, you know, Ben, you, Caleb, Tracy English, DJ, you know, so many people I'm thankful for, all of our coaches. For me and my broadcasting journey, this has been therapeutic. And for people that know me, know what that means. And Carey instantly, you know, found a special place in my heart. I love it. I'm honored to be able to do it. And you know, of course, faith, family, so many things to be thankful for with a one-year-old son. And you've got kids and kids on the way and a lot to be thankful for. But Carey's right there at the top of the list.
Indeed. Well, from all of our family at William Carey to all of you out there listening, whether you're on radio or in podcast form, we're thankful for you. And we wish you all many blessings here for Thanksgiving. Until next time, I'm Caleb Hamill. He's Josh West. Good night. God bless. And go Saters.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.